this came about, I don't know, some time ago. The process of just talking with people over the years, and so many times you hear people say, "Well, I read, but I don't understand." And some are so hung up on particular translations, they're going to swear by a translation, and they can't understand with the translation. And here again, dogmatism will work against you. And it's important to know how the Bible came into existence. And if you learn how the Bible came into existence, then you won't be worshiping a translation. You'll be worshiping Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And too many people worship the book instead of the person. And they never know the person because they don't understand the book. And so what we want to do is just give you some little guidelines here on what will enhance your understanding of the Bible. What good does it do you to read something if you don't understand what's said when you get through? And so reading the Bible without comprehending what's being said is of very little value, because there's no substance for growth. And the whole objective of reading and studying the Bible is to grow spiritually, to where we get into a greater understanding of the will and ways of the Lord. And so our objective for reading the Bible should never be to satisfy our conscience, like so many do, or to impress others by saying, "I've read the Bible through so many times and all this," or "I read the Bible through in a year." We should read for understanding and application. I was just talking with someone recently, and, you know, I was telling this person, my objective for reading is not to teach. My objective for reading is to better know the will and ways of God. I want to know Him. I'm looking for Him in the Scriptures, and then to know how He thinks, and to know how He would conduct Himself in various situations. And then if we know that, then we can better represent the Lord. When reading the Bible, how many of you truly understand what you read? See, we have to be honest with ourselves, first off. And I read the Bible through, but I didn't understand the Bible. But I thought I had made this great achievement the first time I read the Bible through. I thought I had really done something. I've read the Bible through, but basically just about as dumb when I got through as I was when I started. Do you understand? So it's extremely important, number one, to use a translation that you understand. Now, I have to qualify this statement. It's not just reading something you understand, but you want that translation to be accurate with the Greek and Hebrew context. And so you have to be cautious. We need to be cautious with paraphrased Bibles. Personally, I like paraphrase when it's conveying the truth, because a literal translation, if you just word-for-word translation, you can miss a lot of the message and what's being said. You can translate it word-for-word, and you still don't know what it's saying. And so where the paraphrase comes into play is it's actually taking those words and giving you a message in language that you can understand. It's more easily understood. But then, here again, some of your paraphrases, they get real liberal with it, and then they get off base with what the original language said. So you have to be cautious. We want the translation to be accurate. Now, I'm going to say this at the very outset. I have never looked at any translation that was 100% accurate. A lot of them have... all of them have biases. And if this person is of a particular faith, then they translate that to suit that faith, okay? Or they read that or teach that to suit that. This is where we have to be extremely cautious. I want to know what God said. And if what God said is different than what I think, then I need to change my thinking. But if I'm just agreeing with a denomination, then I'm going to get myself in trouble. I was thinking about this morning, actually praying about something, and a denomination is like a cage or a cell, a jail cell. You take like a zoo that captures an animal out of the wild. That wild is that animal's natural habitat, okay? And so they're created to function in that environment. But you can take that animal and put that animal in a zoo or in a cage, and that animal will adapt to the environment in which you've placed it. This is what happens with people when they get into denominations. They adapt to the denomination coming out of the natural habitat of God, and they get into indoctrination, brainwashing. You ever heard that term? What does that mean? It means it trains you to think a certain way. And this is what religion does. It trains people to think a certain way. Baptists is going to train people to think the Baptist belief. Methodists will train to follow that belief. Catholic will follow that belief. You name it, any denomination, they're indoctrinating people to follow this belief. But what does the Bible say? And I've never seen a denomination that fully taught and agreed with the Bible. Okay? That's why it's so important that we study to show ourselves approved to God, not to people or organizations. Now let me ask you another question. How well do you relate to what's going on in the narrative that you're reading? When you're sitting there reading the Bible, how well do you relate to what you're reading? I encourage people not to be remote from it, but try to get into the setting in your thinking. And get into the setting to where it's a living word. It's like, you see this all the time in drama and all this other, where the person is actually getting into that character and living out that particular character. Now, don't be foolish in all this, okay? But I'm saying if you can, for instance, like David and Goliath, you get a visualization of the Philistine army here, the Israeli army here, and this huge giant coming out and making his boast, and all these soldiers are trembling, and their very leader is afraid. You with me? And yet here comes this little guy that's not a trained warrior. He's just been shepherding sheep. And when he hears this, it does something to him. When you hear somebody defy God, does it do something to you? Now see, it motivated him to do the right thing. And everybody's afraid the enemy. But here's a guy that's thinking totally different. When you get the scriptures on the inside of you and an understanding, you're going to think differently than everybody else. And it'll bring a separation. And you'll find that people that did embrace you sort of hold you at arm's length because they think you're going off on the deep end, you understand. But when you get into that setting and you can see this, then you see this man charging, not trembling before this guy, but he runs toward him He doesn't wait for the enemy to come to him. And you're picking up principles in all this. When you really get into the setting and you're seeing that, you start picking up principles of God. You don't run from the enemy. You charge. You drive him back. You don't let him drive you. We are not called to be on the defense. We're an offensive people. But until you really get in and understand the Word of God, you're just trying to pray that the devil don't overrun me, not knowing that you have the power over the devil because we don't understand the Scriptures. Can you visualize the scene? Closely related experiences enhance visualization. You may not be facing Goliath, but there may be things that giants in your life that's opposing you. Can you take that situation and see how these principles apply to that situation? Then it gives you the courage to go on. Get into the setting. Now, here again, I say this with caution. Be like one of the characters. Don't be like Goliath. Don't be like Saul. But you want to be like David. I want to be like David. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be like Saul that is setting a wrong example to those whom he's leading. You follow me? And so when I say, become one of the characters, not infantilizing, but in understanding to where you get a real feel for the scene. Can you place yourself to the historical events of the Bible? Now your imagination has to be stimulated with fact. For instance, you think about Israel leaving Egypt. And here the army's coming in behind them, and the Red Sea's in front of them, and everything looks impossible. But by reading, we see that those waters parted supernaturally. Protection was supernatural with a pillar of fire. And can you see them just walking through what was an uncrossable, unpassable sea, walking through on dry land? And then when you get over the other side and everyone's safe and the enemy's charging after, the water's coming over the enemy. You just see them floating or sinking, whatever the case may be. I think this would give you a better understanding, but make sure what you're thinking is stimulated by fact. Do you find yourself skipping words you can't pronounce? And everybody says, yes, I have. Okay? Many people refuse to read certain parts of the Bible, for instance, the genealogies and Chronicles especially, and some in Genesis. They don't want to read that because they don't keep pronounce. Now, here's the thing. The time period that was written, all those people are dead and gone. So who knows the actual proper correct pronunciation of that word? And here again, we're getting transliteration as well, okay? And so you do the best you can do by dividing that into syllables. And it's not devastating if some scholar says, well, you didn't say that right. Well, they say that about my English language. But that doesn't stop me, you understand? And here again, I'm not talking about being reckless. Pronounce it the best you can, but be deliberate. Now, here's what you'll find. Believe it or not, you can learn some things even reading genealogies. I'll give you an example. For a long time, I wondered how Saul sacrificed, and that was wrong. But Samuel came on the scene and sacrificed, and that was okay. The king couldn't, but the prophet could. And one day, just in reading the genealogies, I found out that Samuel was a Levite. You understand? He's the tribe that was separated to God. Just little pieces that you can pick up, and you can pick up the lineage of Jesus in the genealogies. And that's very important, okay? Especially to see that God's word's true. His promise to Abraham is true. You can follow it all the way down, that promised seed. And you get this in areas that you don't necessarily like to camp down on, okay? But don't skip over words you can't pronounce. Pronounce it the best you can. And don't avoid reading certain areas of the Bible because they don't appeal to you. We need to know the whole truth. If somebody told you 100% truth about yourself, do you believe that everything would just make you happy? They could point out some faults. Right? So what did you do? Do you get mad at it, or do you address those faults and try to get rid of those faults? And see, really, this is what the Bible is doing. It's showing us. We're getting a comparison here, and we're supposed to be coming up to a standard, Jesus Christ. Well, how can I come up to that standard if I don't know the truth? And if you just keep me where I am, I never grow. You understand? And the whole objective of studying the Bible is to grow spiritually by knowing the Lord better, knowing the ways of the Lord. So it's important to be interested in what you're reading. The more interest you have in what you're reading, the higher your comprehension rate will be. Now, I taught school, public school, a couple years, and then, you know, when I went through school, I was not an ideal student, okay? Not even close. But I did pass, as my daddy said, by the skin of my teeth, okay? I graduated. English was an area that I absolutely hated. I hated it. But here's what I found with public education, is they try to teach everybody the same way from an intellectual perspective. And you talk to me, when you get in English and you start talking Shakespeare, I'm not interested. But if they would have talked to me about mechanical things, teaching me the same thing, but using mechanical, now they have my interest, and because they have my interest, I'm going to pay attention. And what happens, people read the Bible and don't even pay attention. I've done it. I've been reading and then just stopped, and I'll say to myself, you don't even know what you read. I mean, I've read several verses, and I don't even know what I read. Just doing time. So I go back. It hasn't been that long ago. I went back and read something four times before I could ever get my mind working like I wanted it to work there, to where I was actually hearing what I was reading instead of just passing over it. And so get interested in the Bible. Now, I would be the first to say that there are some areas that are far more interesting than others. Genealogies are not real interesting. But pay attention to it anyway, okay, and pick up what you can glean from it. If we're not attentive to what we're reading, our comprehension rate's going to be very low. And I think this is one of the biggest problems with people who do read the Bible, is that they're really not paying attention to what they read, especially if you're going from a denominational perspective. You're actually not letting the Bible talk to you, but you're telling it what it says. You get into a certain area that you've heard teaching on, you don't know if that teaching's true or not. And so what you're going to do is you're going to interpret that from what you've heard rather than having an open mind and letting the Spirit of God speak to you. I'm telling you that in 1980, my life changed when the Lord just started opening some things to me. And now I'm reading the Bible and I'm seeing things, and I had read the Bible many times. I just was putting time in. But now I'm going back, and now the Bible's talking to me. Before, I'm talking to it. But when that thing starts talking to you, that's when revelation comes, when you're actually paying attention to what you're reading. And you know, regardless of how well one reads, if you're not interested in the subject, your comprehension rate's still going to be low. It's not how good you can pronounce words. I've seen people that really couldn't pronounce their words very well, but they knew God. And I'm going to tell you, that's the key. Know the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is the revealer. Okay? We read, we get information, but when we start studying and paying attention, then revelation comes through the Holy Spirit. We actually hear what God's saying instead of what we're saying or someone else has told us. Proper pronunciation without understanding, it's just noise, sound, no substance. So you pronounce the word right. But I'd rather for a guy to mispronounce him and know what he's talking about, because I'm going to get the message, than for some orator to stand up, and when he gets through speaking, people just applaud him and nobody knows what he said. Oh, that was a great speech. That was a good lecture. I had a man to tell me one time, that was an interesting lecture, and I had to get on top of myself because it made me mad. How dare you call teaching the Word of God a lecture? I'm telling you what the Spirit of God says, and all you're hearing is a lecture. Something wrong with all that. How we approach the Scriptures affects our comprehension. Are we reading to read, or are we reading to understand? You know, back many years ago, there's much emphasis placed on reading the Bible through in a year. And then they came out with a Bible guiding you, read this and this, today, and at the end of the year, if you'll read our assignments, you will have read the Bible through in a year. And they take some scripture in Old Testament, some scripture in New Testament. And so you followed our instructions, and you read the Bible through in a year. And my mama got one of those things. And I said some things to her about it. I said, why do you use that? You read the Bible anyway. My mom read the Bible. I said, why do you do that? Why not take and read a portion in context and understand that context? Understand the Bible. Don't just say, well, I've read the Bible through 150 times. Well, that's pride. How much of that can you apply to your personal life? If you can't apply it, then it really didn't do you any good. And so we have to read for application. Quality reading is much better than quantity reading. But in this day and time, have you noticed that everything is placed on quantity and speed? How fast you can do it. How fast can you do the job? How fast can you do this? And here's what's happened. The quality has gone downhill. People can make things, but how about making it good? Can you make something that'll actually work and not break? I'm not interested if you spit out 100 in an hour. How many of them will hold up? You understand? And so we have to learn not to place the emphasis on speed, but on accuracy. I have a feeling that people would really get irritated with Jesus. because he didn't get in a hurry. He waited on the Lord. So your friend Lazarus is sick. So he just hangs around a couple of days. Why? He's getting direction. But see, you better get down there and get down there right now. And see, a lot of times that's how we feel about the Bible. I got to read this. I've got to get through this. You know, I'm behind. Who said you're behind? Do you understand what you're reading? Don't put your emphasis on how many chapters you can read. It's better to read one chapter and understand what you've read than to read 10 chapters and you don't know what you read. You have very little insight into what you read. I've actually spent time just on a few verses and read them over and over and over and over. And I just say, Lord, I'm reading this, but I don't know what it means. And I need help. I don't want to be done. I want to know what it means. And you read to get that, and then you start meditating subconsciously. You're thinking about that during the day. And it may be days later that all of a sudden the Spirit of God brings to you what that actually meant because of your meditation. You got it in you now, but what does it mean? Okay? And so it's better to have excellent understanding than to have just a quantity of Scripture. A lot of people can quote Scripture, but they don't understand the Scripture. It's just memorization. A parrot can memorize, but it doesn't know what it's saying. And that's the way so many people are with the Bible. Superficial reading produces very little comprehension. However, concentrated reading produces excellent comprehension. Pay attention to what you're reading. Superficial reading is you're just seeing words written on a page, and you're just reading those words. How many of you ever heard of speed reading? I had a guy that worked with me one time, and he was big into speed reading. And he was saying something to me about reading, how he could read a book like that in no time. I said, he said, you read word for word, don't you? I said, yeah. He said, well, I read diagonally. The word you're just picking up, words. Well, you're going to tell me that you have a good comprehension when you get through? Do a comprehension test. In college, that's one of the things we had. One of the courses I had was in comprehensive reading. And you read, and then when you got through reading, you had to write. Your test was writing what was actually said in what you read. And I was surprised then at how low the comprehension was overall. It just tells me that people aren't paying attention to what they're reading. It's like instructions. How many follow instructions versus scan instructions? That's taking too much time. let's get on with it, okay? And that's how a lot of people approach the Bible. Concentrated reading is going to be looking for the message that's in the words you're reading. It's not the words, it's what message is being conveyed. You know, when Jesus gives a parable, that parable is a natural, he's talking about a natural thing, the parable. But that's not really what he's talking about. He's using a natural thing to convey a spiritual truth. And his disciples asked, why do you speak in parables? So that those seeing won't see, those hearing won't hear. But those whose heart is really to God will pay attention to what he said. Now, what does he mean? What does he mean? I'm the vine. you're the branches. You say, that's a man. He's not a vine. What's he saying? And you start gleaning the message out by paying attention. That's why Jesus would say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You follow me? And we need ears to hear when we're looking at the scriptures. God never intended for us to pick and choose the scriptures we want to read and we want to avoid. Now, this is something that that I have seen so often in my years of ministry. People have these little pet doctrines. And so when they stand to teach that, they tell you that they have studied this, and I've done my research on this, and this is what this means. But they're leaving out scriptures. If they would bring those scriptures in, it would disprove what they're teaching. Now, there have been times that I have gone in to study because I had a preconceived idea, and I'm just going to get all this continuity here and get these scriptures to support my idea. And when I get in and start studying the scripture, it blows my theory away. And now I have to replace my theory with fact. You understand? And so we're actually reading and studying to learn. But too many people read and study to teach rather than to learn. And consequently, they're teaching something that's not accurate. They're teaching what somebody else has said. And Jesus said of the religious people, your traditions have made God's word ineffective. My paraphrase, okay? Your traditions. In other words, you've been taught this and it's been handed down from this generation to this generation. And you just say the Bible says when the Bible doesn't say it. I had a friend of mine back many years ago. He came by the office one day, and he was with my brother, and he was talking about a particular thing that the Bible said, and I knew the Bible didn't say it. But I didn't want to turn him off and offend him. So I said something like this, I don't ever remember reading that. Where is that? And, well, I don't exactly know the scripture, but I just know it's in there. I said, well, I have a strong concordance here. It's got every word in the Bible, every time it's mentioned in the Bible. Tell me a word in that, and let's look it up. I want to know where the scripture is. We did that for a long period of time, and I looked up different words for him, and it wasn't there. You know what he said? He walked out. Well, I know, sir. That's called dogmatism. That's called unteachable. You're not approaching the scriptures to learn. You're letting things get in you. And it's amazing how many people believe tradition over the Word of God. They don't know the Word of God. They know the tradition. That was why they rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah in his day. They could quote you scriptures. They just didn't know what they were quoting. They didn't know the meaning of the scriptures. They had a preconceived idea of how things were going to be. And those things get you in trouble. Read the Bible in its entirety, and it's extremely important to keep things in context. But so many people will pull a scripture out of context and quote that scripture to teach their message or their doctrine. Some scriptures will stand alone. Many of them, you change the meaning when you pull it out of context. Okay? Jeremiah 29:11 is a scripture I've heard quoted so many times. God is telling the nation of Judah that the thoughts I have towards you are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you expected end. But what's the setting of all that? If you don't know the setting in which that statement was made, you're going to miss something. So this is why the context is so important. Read that in the context. Have you ever heard how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil? Did you know the context of that? So it's important to know the context in which that is spoken, and it has a greater meaning. It has more impact on you. That's a true statement. That statement stands alone, but you get more understanding if you know the context in which that was made, the statement was made. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and this is a direct quote from the Revised Standard Version. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So the purpose of Scripture is to teach, but it's also to correct. It's to train us in righteousness. Why? So we can come into a spiritual maturity to where we actually understand the will and ways of God. Okay? I'll stop there and we'll take a break and we'll pick back up on this when we get after the break.